Coming up on the show, we're tasting Atomic Pumpkin Beer.
And Zombie Talkies, we're fixing a vintage Magnavox record player.
And we're counting down our top five fall comfort foods.
On Stuck in Beta.
Hey everyone, welcome to Stuck in Beta. It's a show about, what is it about?
About our lives, about some good beer, about some snacks, and usually a top five list.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm Greg.
And I'm Josh.
Well, it is October.
Yeah.
It's cold out.
It is.
It's beautiful. I love this time of year.
Got my hooded sweatshirt on.
Yeah, I got a long sleeve.
Yeah.
And
long pants.
Long pants. Love the long pants. Love jackets.
Yeah.
This is a weird show starting off.
And we just lost our audience.
They're like, skip.
Spotify, why are you recommending this to me?
Yeah, this is bullcrap. Yeah, so how has your October been treating you?
It hasn't been too bad, you know. We'll maybe get into it in our movie segment, but I've been watching all of the Nightmare on Elm Street, all of the Friday the 13th, and I almost misspoke and said Nightmare on Elm Street, just because the last one that we just watched was Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, yeah.
And again, we don't have to get into that. Well, so it's a little teaser, stay tuned. We'll talk about Friday the 13th, but I had a funny situation happened to me. I'll tell you the story really quick, where I went on a hike last week, and it was out in this park that I had never been to before, and it was like early in the morning, nobody else was around, and I got up to this, you know, spot. I kind of climbed this hill and stopped for a moment, and behind me I heard this crack, like, you know, the crack, the sound of like a branch breaking.
Oh, yeah, someone following you. Or, yeah.
Yeah. And I just watched, I don't remember which episode or which movie it was for Friday the 13th, but there was so many of those segments where you hear that crack and then, I don't know what
Sorry.
That was. But you heard the crack and then the person would turn around and then Jason would be standing there.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, exactly.
And I hit the peeing.
But I knew, you know, I did turn around and look, but I mean, it was like a squirrel or something that dropped an acorn or whatever. But for some reason, it reminded me of a situation. I think it was because I was on this ridge and the path was like pretty straight. Both sides you could see kind of dropped off. So it reminded me of this trail that used to be close to my house whenever I was a kid that we found whenever we were riding our bikes. And I had to be like in elementary school. And I remember my friends and I, we told some of the older kids in the neighborhood that we found this trail, and they were all like, oh yeah, yeah, we know about that. And we know that it leads down to this field and blah, blah, blah. Well, then they told us this story of this older kid who had, and this was I kind of did the rough math on it. I think it would have been around like 1985, 86. So I was still not even 10 years old yet. They told us this story, and these are kids that were probably like 3 years older than us.
Right.
About this kid who had gotten into a fight with his dad and ran away from home and was living in a like makeshift treehouse off of this path somewhere. And he had a crossbow that he used for hunting and killing animals that he ate. And as a 7 or 8 year old, I remember being like a little bit skeptical, but at the same time believing it enough that it like freaked me out. So I remember the story and talking about it with my friends that were around my age at the time, and we were all kind of like, you know, a little bit shaken by it. And then they took the story a step further where they said, hey, we've heard that he's having a hard time finding food, and he's going up to people's houses and he's like looking around for food and he's like breaking in.
Oh,
and
no.
I've totally forgotten about that story for like the last 40 years, but for some reason that walk in the woods
Yeah.
Being all by myself, and this trail like reminded me of that. And I'm pretty sure, like, even to this day, I'm pretty sure that it was all BS, but I'm wondering if there was any truth to it at all.
We had, I swear, about that same time, same type situation. There were trails in the back of the subdivision that led into big fields of farmers and then woods. And everyone said Jason, the real Jason, was buried back there. And the thing was, there was actually a tombstone back there. No one knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was just someone's pet or something died and they buried it, you know, at some point, like a farmer did.
Mm-hmm.
But there was that legend of, you know, oh my gosh, this really is. And we, you know, well, I want to see the grave. I want to see it, you know. And we go to it and we freak each other out.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of the same type situation where it was older kids telling us this.
Yeah.
And getting us all, you know, worked up. And I'm sure same thing. It wasn't, there was no truth to it. It was just.
Well, of course, there was no Jason.
Well,
the real Jason. I mean, they didn't even get creative and try to make up a backstory.
Yeah,
to the person.
Yeah,
they
no,
Jason.
They didn't do that. No, they weren't smart enough for that.
So. What about you? What's going on with you?
Oh, man. So many trunk or treats. I don't remember going to. Trunk or treats weren't a thing when I was a kid. We've went, let's see, it's October 24th. Tonight we have another one. Tonight will be our fifth trunk or treat we've been to. It's crazy.
And this is just candy, essentially, that the kids are getting?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing with these halls?
What?
I mean, there's got to be huge hauls of candy that you're getting going trick or treating four different times.
That's the thing. It's not as much as you would think because, well, like the one tonight is in Arnold, big town in Jefferson County, and they expect 1,200 people there tonight.
Jeez.
So 1,200 kids, not people, 1,200 kids. So, like, I know my wife, her company, they got, like, one of their, they're going to be giving out candy for their, where she works. And they had, like, 750 pieces of candy. And Molly's like, they're expecting this much. If they have that much, we won't have enough, even if we give everyone one piece.
Wow.
And so, like, a lot of these, especially the really busy ones, you get one piece of candy at each, which, for me, at my house, you're getting a handful. But I guess these are different, you know?
Yeah, I guess I've been to a couple with my nephews, and we were supposed to go to one tomorrow here in Festus, but I think the plans changed. The kids aren't coming down.
Yeah.
But are you guys going to that one tomorrow?
I didn't know. Where's that one tomorrow?
I think it's on Main Street.
Oh, yeah. Oh, are they doing just the Main Street? Oh,
I'm sorry. It might be just like the Main Street business thing. Oh. I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's also dump day, and I got a lot of, my parents have a lot of stuff they want to dump, so I'm loading up stuff from their house to.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's have a beer.
Yeah, why not?
What did you bring today? You've got a beer.
I do, and I don't know if we want to, do we want to just share one? Because we got two beers.
Okay, we can do that. Sure.
So this one I brought down from that trip that I took back in September from Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and it's from a brewery called Ordock. And it's my understanding the dock is still there right on Lake Michigan, but it's no longer in service. It's a giant dock that they used for loading up big shipping containers with ore, I guess iron ore that they extracted from, you know, the land. Anyway, this brewery is right off the coast there. And, actually, there's a picture on the can here of what the ore docks look like. And I think I mentioned before when I talked about this brewery the Upper Peninsula, that they're very proud of everything that is Upper Peninsula. Like, they don't even consider themselves a part of the mainland of the rest of Michigan. It's like its own little, like, subculture up there. So all the ingredients, according to, I don't know if all the ingredients, but a majority of the ingredients for this beer are all sourced in the Upper Peninsula. So this is a porter. It is an American robust porter, 5.6% alcohol. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's been, I have not tried this one yet. And it's been, I guess, sitting at room temperature for the last half an hour or so.
Malty depths of dark roast and chocolate notes.
That is dark for a porter. And now, we should know this, Greg, but what's the difference between a porter and a stout? I'll put you on the spot.
Yeah, I know. Why would you do that? I believe that your porter is meant to eat with a porterhouse steak.
Oh!
Actually, there is some truth to that.
Really? I'm going to difference between porter and stout. According to Google, the main difference is that stouts traditionally use roasted, unmalted barley for a drier, more bitter, and coffee-like flavor, while porters use more malted barley for a sweeter, smoother, and often chocolatey taste. If you gave me like a taste test of here's, you know, a couple different beers, I probably couldn't tell you whether something's a porter or a stout.
I feel that porter beer is a dark ale named for its popularity among the porters or dock and street laborers of London in the 1700s. The term later evolved to include stout, initially a name for a stronger version of porter beer.
That's just right off the top of your head.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And in other words, this is like the weaker version,
I guess.
Right?
But it's even to make it more complicated, it's very similar to a brown ale.
Yeah. This is what did we say the 6.4 ABV? Oh no. 5.6.
On this one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 5.6. Yeah, I think it's good. What do you think?
That's a very good beer.
Yeah. I like the temperature that it's at right now.
Yeah, it's really good at this temperature. It's, like you said, I'd put this with a brown. It's very close to a brown ale. But yeah, you do have a little bit of the more chocolatey notes as well. And it gives it a nice, nice finish where it's just, I don't know. Like, this would be this is a perfect beer for this temperature, this time of year.
Yeah.
I applaud you on this pick.
Yeah, I agree. This is an A. A for awesome beer.
A for autumn.
Autumn, yeah. Now, do you call it autumn or fall?
No, I never call it autumn. I call it fall. It's fall weather.
Yeah, the leaves
fall
are falling.
Is here. I've never called it autumn.
Me either.
Except right there, because I needed an A word.
Yeah, this is good, though, and we'll try the other one in a bit.
Yeah. Since the fridge down here has been defrosted and I got it working again, it is super cold.
Oh, that's good.
Now, that's perfect temperature for a soda, but for a beer, well, okay, some beers, perfect temperature.
Yeah.
Your Yinglings, probably awesome at 33 degrees. Soda's perfect at that. Beers, depending
good beers,
on the good beers, need a little bit higher.
Yeah, especially porters, stouts, even browns. I like them a little bit warmer, probably in the 40s or so. So what else? You had dog walking on here. You walking
That's
your
another,
dog?
Okay. I keep talking about fall and all that. My exercise routine has been kind of non-existent. Sorry. I know I was going to do the running thing that I don't know if I just can't find the time or what, but I have to walk the dogs every night. So that's my bit of exercise. It's not much, but I usually get about a mile and a half, which mm-hmm. pretty good brisk walking. But right now is like awesome because I love to take them out around 7:30. It's dark out, and I'm just in a neighborhood, so I'm not going to get hit by a car or anything. Mm-hmm. Well, if I did, it's my own fault. But I turn on my music in my pocket. I'm listening to some of my spooky tunes, like I mentioned in the last episode, and just walking around with them. I really enjoy that, and it's like my perfect like unwind time too. Like, it's just, it feels good, especially because I probably just ate like a pretty good meal to,
oh yeah,
and then to walk it off, and
helps with the digestion.
Yeah, and I've never been much of a dog walker or anything. Like, I was pretty lazy about walking our other dogs, but since we got the golden retriever Ruby, we're, Molly's like, we need to walk her. She's going to be crazy at night or whatever. So, been more regular about it. And I don't know. It's kind of a nice wind down to the day, too.
Yeah.
Kind of enjoy that.
That makes sense. I agree with you this time of year. Even this morning, I went for a walk. I guess it was around 9. And it was initially chilly, but once you start going, you get warmed up pretty quickly. But it's not to the point that you're breaking a sweat.
Yeah, and you'd even wear a jacket, it. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's, yeah, I, yeah, perfect yep. time.
I know, the older I get, the more I just cannot stand the heat or humidity, and I think it was like 40-something degrees. I mean, it's probably been that on your walks as well, on your evening yeah. walks, but my morning walk, it was like 46. I was like, ooh, that might be a little too chilly, but as long as the sun is shining, it's no problem at all.
Yeah. Welcome to Senior Talk.
I have a story that unfortunately involves a dog to an extent, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But I finally replaced my radiator in my truck. You remember going back to this beer here? I took this trip to Michigan back in September, about 6 weeks ago or so, to visit my son.
Yeah.
Right before I left, I noticed this like pinhole leak in my radiator of my truck. Don't know what caused it, but it was like slowly leaking antifreeze coolant, and I put a piece of duct tape on it that lasted for like 2 days, and then I used some JB Weld that lasted for a few weeks. It didn't leak while I was on that trip, but then it started slowly leaking, and so then I ordered a new radiator, and last week I fixed it. It was actually pretty easy. The radiator cost like $125, and just had to remove some lines and hook everything back up. Took me a couple hours and no leaks.
Nice.
So truck was good as new. Now, some bad news that does involve a dog is the other day it was nighttime and I'm driving on Highway 21 on the four lane, which is like speed limit 65.
Yeah.
It was dark and I came up over this hill and this dog walked right out in front of me.
Oh, no.
And I slammed on the brakes. It literally walked into my lane and stopped. I have no idea where it came from because it's like a highway. You never see dogs
right
on the highway.
It was a dog, not a deer.
Definitely yeah. a dog. I hit it, uh-huh. and I couldn't come to a complete stop. I couldn't swerve or anything. There was cars in the other lane. And, I mean, that's, like, heartbreaking.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
just imagine that it being somebody's, like, pet and everything. And I couldn't see it because it took me a little bit to come to a complete stop. And I didn't want to, like, walk on the highway. And so the front of my truck was pretty banged up. It, like, smashed in my grill. And I ordered a new one. Luckily, it was, like, minor kind of cosmetic damage. But I haven't fixed that yet. But then the next day I drove by that area because I was like, I just kind of had to know like what kind of
right.
animal was it. And it was a dog. It was laying on the side of the road. And I didn't really know what to do. And I didn't want to like stop because, again, it's like speed limit 65 miles an hour. And it's like on a bridge where it's not, you know, there's no shoulder there.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know there's nothing I could really do. But yeah, that sucked. And sorry to be a downer there, but...
That's tough. That happened to me when I was like, I don't know, 17 or something like that. And like, it same thing. It just darted in front of you. I couldn't do anything. And I don't know why, but at the time, my dad, I don't know, he was following me in a car behind me. I don't know why. I don't remember the reason why, but I pulled over. I was in tears. I was so upset, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" And Dad's like, "What happened?" What? And I go, "I think I hit a dog," and you know. And my dad said he saw it, and it was limping on the side, or what? I don't know. very sad. And I know my wife listens to this podcast, so she's probably like, I don't want to listen to this.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I only wanted to share that because it's like,
sometimes
therapeutic.
Molly hit a squirrel once and she was in like tears. So
those things drive me crazy. Yeah. They'll dart out and then they're like bouncing back and forth. Wasn't there a Seinfeld episode where George hits a squirrel?
Yeah, yeah. Because the pigeons, we had a deal. They get out of the way.
That's right. The squirrels will.
We didn't have a deal with them.
they'll jump across the road and then they'll come right back and you're like,
yeah.
So what's going on with your record player?
Oh, this is...
Tell me about this.
So I got, about a few years ago, my neighbor, he was giving away this, it's like from the 60s, it's a cabinet Magnavox Astrosonic turntable. I've had it, you know, I've had it since then. I think it's really cool, very retro, but the sound was never great on it. So I started using another record player for all my vinyl, and I got to thinking, I'm like, why don't I look into what I can do, what's wrong with it, and what I could do to fix it? So I found that a lot of older stuff, obviously there's dirt buildup, oxidation, stuff like that. So you got to use some cleaner in there to clean it. So I use a few things like that to clean it out, and I got to the point where it sounds fine, but you have to turn the volume like way up.
Yeah.
So I figured out like I got the sound clear, but it will not amplify. So that tells me the amp for the phono, which you know is the vinyl, the record player, that isn't working. Because when I flip to FM, super loud, sounds great. So I looked up at what I can do or whatever. You can either go in there, fix the capacitors. There's a bunch of work to, a truest would probably do that.
Yeah.
But the easiest way is you can snip off some wires and put it into an external preamp, which would do exactly what I wanted to do. So I ordered one. It's actually going to probably come today. Only like about, I think it was like $15 and take a couple RCA cables, put it in, and hopefully it'll sound really good after that.
That's really cool. So that, will that device be like hidden? You won't see
it? Yeah, you won't see it. It'll actually, I can tuck it inside the cabinet. You won't even see it. It'll have its own power as well. But so there'll be two plugs, but
how are the speakers in the cabinet?
I mean, they sound good. They really sound really good. There's rich, you know, there's bass tone and everything. So for what it is, it sounds really good.
That's
cool. I'm hoping, because like I said, when you turn on FM stereo, you're like, oh my gosh, it sounds great. You know, but for vinyl, you just gotta. So, working on that, I was talking to you earlier about that. I was debating whether I want to shoot a video on it because we got the How to Fix It channel, and it's pretty like not a lot of people would be looking for something like that.
No, probably not. But there might be those type of people out there that are interested in seeing the restoration of. I mean, it's not a full restoration.
No.
It's just a couple quick fixes. But
right.
To see something that's, what you said, is in the 60s, so that's 80 or 60-something years old. And, I mean, there's people out there that will probably get a comment like, oh, I remember my grandma had that or my mom had that or whatever.
And that's what it came from. My neighbor's aunt had passed away, and he was giving away a lot of furniture and stuff from there. And I'm like, he goes, you want it, you can have it.
Man, that's
like,
cool.
I'm like, I can't let you just throw that in a dump. I got to take that thing.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't mind having something like that. We've talked about getting a record player, but I don't know. I don't see us playing it from our like surround sound system in our living room. But something like that that's more standalone, it might be. Plus, it's kind of like a piece of art, conversation piece, etc.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a cool video.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll have to, you know, kind of, it'll be one where I just kind of tell what I did on some of the things. I can't show exactly everything.
Sure.
Because I've already cleaned it. I'm not going to go redo that.
Right.
We're actually doing one more beer. And I know if you're on the podcast, you're like, another one? We're going to listen to another one? Yeah, you are. So
deal with it. Or just don't.
Oh, I guess I should talk about it first. This is one that I've been telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
Atomic Pumpkin from New Belgium. It's part of their Voodoo, what is it, the Voodoo Ranger series or whatever of beers. And
you mentioned you had this before, right? At like the zoo or something?
I've had this. I found it very unique, and that's why I kind of enjoyed it. So, there, you want to...
Yeah, I've definitely not had it. Looks good.
So, it is a... Let's see. It is a pumpkin ale featuring cinnamon, habanero chili peppers for just the right amount of heat. So, normally your pumpkin ales don't have all that sweetness to it.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoa.
All right. Did I say sweetness? I wasn't even...
Yeah, you did.
I meant spiciness.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say it definitely has that spicy aroma, but more of I get a lot of cinnamon on the scent there. You're just like chugging it.
Like I said, I've had this at a lot of the Zootoberfest. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Oh
boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's got some zing to it.
So it reminded me of like a little bit of Main & Mills chili ale.
Uh-huh.
They have like a chili beer that is it just called chili ale or something like that?
I think so. Or just
And it's green chili ale maybe.
That's right.
And it's basically like a spicy beer. Mm-hmm. This has that sweetness as well.
Yeah. Yeah, sweetness, spiciness. It has that. Yeah, I get almost like a. It reminds me of those like winter beers a little bit. You know, it's kind of like a bit of that with the cloves and cinnamon and.
It's got a pumpkin pie with the burning on your tongue.
It definitely burns the back of my throat. Yeah, this is definitely a good seasonal beer.
I find it, I don't know, it's one of my favorite pumpkins because it's different.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. After that first initial shock, it's a little easier to sip.
Even on the can it says special release, but special is crossed out and it says spicy.
Spicy.
Spicy release.
Yeah, this is good.
So there you so much to say.
I would say for what it is, I really like it. I'm with you. I think it's really good for this time of year and unique enough that I think we probably have the same opinion when it comes to pumpkins, that they're just really not that good in most cases. Just having a regular pumpkin ale, it's not for me. I can usually take like a sip and go, oh yeah, that one's different than that one or whatever. Yeah. But they're not one. I don't want a pint of it usually.
Right. It's not a lot different from one to the other.
Yeah. But this one's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now we tried to make whenever we were homebrewers before. I guess real quick before we go to rating here, didn't we make something that was like a vanilla pumpkin?
A pumpkin cheesecake.
Pumpkin cheesecake.
That was your idea.
Yeah.
We each would alternate about what beer flavor we were going to do. Then we were doing about every 3 weeks, we'd start a new beer. I had a lot of beer in the basement. That
I don't remember. Did that one not turn out very well? Did we end up pitching a lot of it?
I kind of remember there was something. I think we used like cheesecake oil or
extract
something.
Extract or something, yeah.
It was real oily.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know at the time, but that type flavoring, you need to dilute like in vodka or something first.
That's right.
And kind of get the essence out of that. And otherwise the beer will be very, it felt oily.
Yeah.
Like on your tongue. Like it had a weird after, it tasted fine, but it had a weird feeling afterwards.
Mouth feel.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would give this one an A, I guess. I'm gonna be generous here. I do kind of like this one. It's not something that I would drink year round, of course, but I'm in the spirit right now.
You're in the spirit. The Halloween spirit. Orange. Yeah.
Got my orange hoodie on. It's like 62 degrees outside. It's a little cloudy. I mean, perfect.
There you go.
And I already had half of a beer before, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, there you go. I agree. I like this. I think it's one of my favorite pumpkins, and so there you go.
And speaking of home brewing, you're doing a little bit of home brewing.
Yeah, so I've done it before. Ciders are simple. If anyone wants to get into brewing, cider is the way to go. Actually, I am shooting a video on.
Cool.
I started from the beginning. I've done each day. I've kind of kept a short little 30 seconds of what the beer is looking like.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to be on the Beer 30 channel?
I don't know. I almost feel that we could throw it on our how to fix. It's a how-to video.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I think if anyone wants to brew, I think brew their own type of beer, cider would be something to start with. I know it's not beer, but because you're literally taking apple juice and adding yeast. I mean, it couldn't get simpler than that.
Yeah.
And you could even do it in a 2-liter bottle. You'd even do it in the apple juice jug if you wanted to. I mean, you only have that little amount, but really easy to do. So, but this is going to be I got this recipe, I don't know, about 10 years ago. It's that caramel apple cider. So that's what I'm doing.
Very good.
So it starts out where you just make a regular apple cider. It's dextrose, which is corn sugar.
Mm-hmm.
That and apple juice. Add yeast. Let that go through its motions. Then you add the cinnamon. What is it? The cinnamon. What are they? Dulce leche mix. Add that. And you're good to go.
Yeah, the only reason why I ask if you're going to put it on the Beer 30 channel is because if you go to our most popular videos,
our homebrewing stuff.
Yeah, all of our homebrewing stuff still gets tons of views.
I could just double post it.
Oh, really?
Couldn't I just put it on both?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, what's the stop? Why?
I wasn't sure if YouTube allows that or not. Like, do they have a way of seeing that it's like the exact... Maybe you change a little something in it, like the intro... You know, like, and then it becomes a different video.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how they could, because I've seen many of the same videos on different channels. Mm. Like, people steal content all the time.
Well, true.
Put it on their own.
Yeah.
I know that's a big thing.
Well, yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you're doing that.
So, hopefully it'll be done for next week.
Cool. Our next recording?
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know if you wanted... Next time we shoot would be Halloween, yeah. So I don't know if you want to do it on Halloween. The kids will be off that day.
Oh, no. Oh, we'll have to do the day before maybe or something.
Maybe.
All right.
Hey, you want to do... Well, we're going from one hot to another. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. So as soon as I saw this on the... Well, go ahead and hit the...
Making a lot of noise back here. So this week, I felt to keep with the Halloween spirit. I've got Takis, zombie flavored.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I, for one, do not like Takis. The regular ones.
I don't know that I've ever actually had them. I know what they are, but I don't know that I've had them.
Do your kids like them?
I think some of them do.
Lots of kids. That's like their thing. It's usually like a chili lime, their regular one. This one is habanero and cucumber.
Yeah, as soon as I saw this on the agenda, I was like, ah. I did tell Lexi that we were trying this, and I said, maybe I can bring you home a couple to try.
Oh, is she a fan of these?
I think she does like the regular Takis. So, now, this is going to be the type of chip that tomorrow I'm going to be like, oh, my God, what is wrong with me whenever I use the restroom? Not only is it spicy, but things are going to come out looking a different color.
So they are all green, too.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's a cucumber, right?
I guess. Did you mention that they were called zombie?
Yeah, zombie.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Oh, man. Yeah. Spicy and cucumber. I mean, they're not terrible.
No, these are terrible.
Really?
Oh.
Hmm. I kind of like the...
Oh.
It's more like pickle flavor, in my
opinion.
It's
like a really... Oh. And I like spicy pickles, but oh.
Hmm.
It's very sour. To me, it tastes more sour than...
Yeah, that second one. Oh.
It's more...
Oh, the second one was way more sour than the first one.
It tastes more sour than...
Yeah.
Well, there is spice there. Well, let me try one.
Ooh. Oh, it's hot. It's hot. It's sour. And it's...
It's really salty.
Yeah.
Oh.
I can't stop eating them.
I don't know. So there is... Now wash it down with your spicy pumpkin.
Damn. Oh. Yeah.
They're not too bad. Oh
man. Those are rough. That's like, I can't imagine somebody just sitting there snacking on these.
Well, like, it's got a little thermometer on the side. Extreme. Oh. It's all the way to the red.
Whew.
These are hot, but very sour, too.
Yeah. Man, those are pretty unique.
I don't think I'd do those again, although I got one out, so I guess I'll eat that one, too. But
it was an experience. Whew.
Yeah. I can't recommend those. However...
It was fun.
If you want to, like, this is a good, like, pour a bowl out at your Halloween party and just to see people's reaction when they try one, you know. Yeah. Oh, what are these, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah, my throat is on fire from those and the beer now. It's
Do you remember, didn't we try, like, zombie Skittles or something like that?
Yeah, it sounds familiar. Were they hot, though?
No, I thought it was, what was it? Was it sour or, I thought it was supposed to taste like rotten flesh, but I don't know how you do that. Now I got to look up zombie Skittles. I swear.
Or was it zombie jelly beans?
Oh, apparently rotten zombie flavor hiding. Oh, okay. A surprise rotten flavor is meant to have an unusual, disgusting taste. Is revealed once you start chewing.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Like, the outside didn't have that flavor.
I thought we had gotten these, and they were in little bags, and, like, there was one zombie Skittle in each bag. You didn't know which was, and we tried them all, and we were like, I think we did this, and it was you, me, and Bauman. We each tried them, and I never found one. And maybe I did. I was like, this isn't so bad. Well,
yeah. Well, these are not so good. These are more on the bad end of the spectrum.
Oh, I did the last one.
Good job.
I gotta say, really, really, really salty.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like if you took a spoonful of salt I don't know if regular Takis are like that. It's been so long since I had one. Because I don't mind lime, but it's like a chili lime.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
Just,
yeah, I get that little bit of a lime from it, too, yeah.
I don't know. Very pickle flavor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whew. Let's look at some interesting news here. So I thought this caught my attention the other day. The Casey's in my town. I live in a pretty small town, and there's a Casey's right in the center, as there are most small towns. And they were in the process of changing the logo, like changing the signage on the sign, the big sign outside and the front of the building.
Right.
And I thought it just kind of caught my attention. And I, going back to a conversation we had in one of our,
about the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, episodes a couple weeks ago, the Cracker Barrel outrage. So I thought, where is the outrage for Casey's? Because they did away with the old general store, and the logo used to look like a little building where it had a roof and everything.
Yeah, farmhouse general. Yeah, it had that general. Yeah, definitely a very, very old-timey, I guess,
yeah,
kind of look.
Yep. And the new one still kind of has that a little bit. But it's all red, and then the font is a little different. So anyway, I just did a quick search, and I was trying to see if there was any kind of, you know, outrage against this. And there was a post that I saw where they were like, they had a smiley, lovey face on the old logo, and then they have like a circle with a line through it for the new logo. Like basically, I love the old logo, I hate the new logo. And
it's
so,
on change.org to revert it back.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're trying to tell people, or trying to get like a, I don't know, a movement going to say that we need to change it back. And
Casey's isn't going woke, right?
I know, exactly. So there's only like a couple of paragraphs to this story here, but the person says that they basically are saying, and well, I'll just go ahead and quote it here. What I've gathered is, no matter who I've spoken with, everyone agrees that this new design is a negative change for the company. This makes me sympathetic for the general store I've grown much sentiment towards, because my observation proves that they've wasted a great deal of money on sign manufacturing, construction labor, and in-store brand merchandising. It's like, who cares?
Well, did you see how many signatures they have? This is a huge movement.
I have not.
30 signatures.
30?
Oh, my gosh. I know they've done the one down here. So they changed the one up by you two already.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw it the other day. Go, oh, look, Casey's is a different color. It's more, yeah. There's no yellow anymore. It's all red.
Yeah, it's still red and white. And I think they changed their logo not that long ago, maybe like within the last 10 years or so, because there used to be a separate store, a Casey's store in my town, and then they built a brand new one just like literally across the street. And I think when they did that, they changed the logo to whatever, to the
current, the one that was, yeah.
So it's just funny to me how people get so upset about.
Now, the only thing I saw in this new one, it's still got like the house shape on the actual sign.
Mm-hmm.
And was there always like the rooster, the weather vane at the top?
I think so.
Because it's more pronounced now. I don't remember that before. Now I'm like, oh, unless it's been, unless the old one fell off on the old sign and they just, they just never fixed it.
That could be.
I don't know. I don't go to Casey's very often. I used to like getting their pizza. I thought they were pretty good, but I don't go there very often. However, I did go there today because I was out of my fuel light, and that was on my route home, and the Upside app had like 10 cents off.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, well, go there and get my gas.
Yeah, they do seem to have better gas prices than the other gas stations in my area. But then the Murphy over here, again, this is old man talk here.
Old man.
The Murphy that's outside of the Walmart.
The Walmart.
They tend to have even cheaper gas. So sometimes I go there from the area.
Got to get the Murphy.
Yep.
Murphy's on Upside too.
Yeah, yeah. That's been kind of a recent addition, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, good times.
All right. Should we get into our top five comfort foods?
Oh, okay. Sure. Gotcha. So our top, we've been trying to do a more seasonal type top five for this month, you know, Halloween, fall type thing. And you picked today top five fall comfort foods.
I did. And then I wrote it down and I did a lot of work and I had it all lined out and I left it on my
calligraphy
desk at home.
And
Yep.
All right. Do you want to go first or you want me to?
I will. Sure.
Start with your number five.
Sure. I'll start at the top of the list. I remember I had stew on the list. Anything that can go in a crock pot and sit there for many, many hours and just coagulate.
Coagulate?
Beef stew.
So I'm kind of right there with you at number five. I put roast beef slash pot roast.
Yeah, pot roast.
Which is kind of, you know, depending on what you, you know, you have the carrots, potatoes, the beef all together. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Especially when you come home and you, your whole house, you're like, oh, that smells good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all these are what are
similar.
Come, yeah, all of them have that same, you know, you come home and you're like, ooh, what do you got? Cooking.
So the next one I would say is, and these are all going to be fairly similar except for one. I have one that I think is a little bit out there in a different category, but next would be like the chicken soup or chicken whatever. There's so many different variables.
Chicken whatever.
You got like chicken noodle soup. You can do chicken.
Buffalo chicken.
I mean, there's so many variations of it, but the thing that where it's like typically, you know, carrots and celery and noodles and that just basically like chicken soup.
So my number four is simply pie. Like my, I kind of put apple pie and pumpkin pie kind of in the same category. Kind of like that's that comfort fall. Deliciousness, you know?
I agree. That was going to be my one that was out there a little bit different than in this category was pie, and specifically apple pie, because, you know, it's typically apple
season. I thought you were a cherry pie guy, though.
I love cherry pie. I love cherry pie. I love cherry. Apple and cherry are my favorite. But apple, this time of year, fall, is, you know, you typically got the apple pie. I don't care for pumpkin pie all that much. And those are the ones that, well, especially around Thanksgiving, but we're still a little early for that. But, yeah, apple pie is very good.
Okay. That was your number three?
Yeah.
Well, my three was chicken and dumplings, so that's kind of...
Ooh, yeah.
I guess kind of where you were going with the chicken and...
The my number four.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I forget what my other one was, but it was... Basically anything. I think it was to your point on the roast, like a roast or a stew. I don't know what necessarily differentiates the two. They're pretty similar.
Yeah, I mean, a stew, you use kind of the similar meat. I guess a roast is normally sliced, maybe?
Oh, okay. We had roast the night before last. So that would be my number two. Roast is typically like potatoes and carrots and meat.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we'll put celery in there as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, roast is a good one. I mean, you don't want to have that in the summertime.
No, no, no. Number two, this is big one, chili.
Yeah.
Chili, I love it anyway, on a hot dog.
Yeah.
Add spaghetti, make a chili mac. I like putting it on a tortilla and making like a chili cheese burrito. Ooh. Well, that's what you do with the leftover chili. I like doing that.
Yeah, try that.
Yes, chili is my favorite, and we do it at least once a week during this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm interested to see what your number one is then, because I thought that was going to be chili, because it is my number one, and I agree with you. Chili, love it always. White chicken chili, turkey chili.
Yeah.
Beef, even vegan, vegetarian, however it comes to me.
However it comes.
Because I went to a chili, or I've been to several chili cook-offs, and I mean, there's just so many different variations of chili. I like it spicy sometimes. Not super spicy, but I like it to have a little bit of heat. And then, like you said, just having all the hot dogs and cheeses and sour cream and all the toppings.
What is it? The Fritos. I love putting on chili cheese Fritos with chili and cheese.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. What's your number
one? My number one, it's actually around the next holiday, but it's still fall. The Thanksgiving dinner, turkey gravy stuffing, mashed potatoes.
Yep.
That trifecta together is the perfect comfort food.
Yeah.
And I would not have that in the summertime.
That's true. Yeah, you don't want to have Thanksgiving dinner in July.
Yeah. I mean, it is American, I guess, but, it's very, very American type dinner, but you wouldn't go, hey, you want to have some heavy turkey gravy stuff, all that.
Yeah.
No. But there you go.
Yep.
We didn't do our
good stuff.
I didn't do my doop, boop, boop, boop. Yeah, well, who cares? So, okay, movies, TV.
Yeah.
What have you been watching?
Man, for me, it's been just continuing to watch all the Friday the 13th.
Really?
I am almost finished now. The only two that we have not watched are Jason X. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting that they kind of lost the rights. So it was on Paramount. The first like eight movies were on Paramount.
Yeah, and New Line, that's how
Then they moved to New Line. So Sean Cunningham, he moved over. I don't know what the circumstances were, but that's how they got Freddy versus Jason, because I guess the Nightmare on Elm Street is all on New Line.
Well, wasn't the end of Jason Goes to Hell?
That might have been on New Line as well.
The end of that, you see the Freddy's
hand.
Claw come up and grab the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he laughed.
Yeah.
So Jason X, we have not watched. And Lori's like, you can watch that one without me. That just looks stupid.
She's been with you this whole way.
She has.
Oh, my gosh. She's a trooper.
Yeah, I know. She would be very thankful that you said that.
Molly would never do this.
Really?
She'd be like, this is no.
They are so bad. But we watched Freddy versus Jason the other night, and it was actually pretty decent. I mean,
I like that one.
That one came out in 2003, so it's way newer than
that. I remember seeing that in the theater.
Hmm. It's not bad.
As one of the who is it? It's not Beyonce. It's one in Destiny's Child.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember her name now, but I thought it was good. The funny thing is, the movies that we typically liked or thought weren't as bad as the others, you go watch the reviews and people just like crap on those the most.
Kelly Rowland.
Yeah. The movies that we absolutely thought were garbage, you go watch the reviews, and it's all the nerdy
geeks
that are all into, and they're like, they're all about the ones that are like absolutely
terrible.
I think it's the third one or the fourth one that was all in 3D.
The third one's 3D, yeah.
That one is horrible.
And that's the first hockey. Is that the bad one with Corey Feldman, or was that number four?
No, that's the fourth one. After that.
That one's really bad. Four is bad in my book.
A lot of those in the middle were bad. And I still will go back and watch the behind-the-scenes type stuff on those. And I keep learning something new about what was going on at the time, what was going on with the studio. So many of these movies, especially the later ones that were still on Paramount, they would film everything, and they would be like super gory, and they would send it to the studio, and they would, or not the studio, but whoever's like overseeing the rating system of movies.
MPAA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would tell them they have to like make it cleaner.
Oh, they have to cut it.
A lot of stuff out. So there's a lot of people out there that say that they wish they could see. I think there's a few movies where you can see those deleted scenes, but then there's a lot of them that they've only said, hey, we had these other scenes, but well, you know, they've been lost or whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of those kill scenes that are just so, I mean, there's nothing to them, you know, like you'll see something, you know, like his machete swing. And the next thing you know, the lady's like, or person's laying on the ground.
Well, that's kind of a Hitchcock trick back in the day. That was to keep the ratings lower. You really weren't showing anything. It was mm-hmm. the whole, you would never see anything, but your mind would sure. think you were seeing something, you know? Yeah. Man, you're talking about going to the MPAA to, cause they had to make it less violent or mm-hmm. whatever. Did you ever hear that story about the South Park movie when they made that, they came back and they're like, oh, this is going to be NC-17 unless you change all this stuff or whatever. And that apparently Matt and Trey, the guys from South Park, were like, let's just do whatever we want. Let's make it worse.
Yeah.
And they made it like they added more stuff and sent it back. And they're like, well, thanks for taking this seriously and actually changing some stuff.
Really?
And then, so that goes to show how, you know, it probably depends on who's actually looking sure. at it.
That's interesting. Yeah, so we have that one, Jason X, and then the one that was the, I guess, reboot from 2009. And I haven't followed the whole history of what's going on with the basically like the Jason character, which is owned. I mean, I know there's some kind of a feud between, I guess it's Paramount and New Line with who owns the rights to Friday the 13th, who owns the rights to the Jason character. And that's why there hasn't been anything.
Not since 2009?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
There's supposed to be something new in the works this year. I don't think it's going to be released this year, and I haven't done all the research on it, but because I was just kind of waiting to see the 2009 one to see if there was how that ended and whether or not there was going to be. I mean, it doesn't matter, I guess, how they end, because they just figure out a way to continue the story anyway.
Oh, he really wasn't dead. You know?
Yeah, but that was. But yeah, we enjoyed Freddy versus Jason. I thought that was.
Yeah, I thought good. That was. I mean, it's more when I think when Freddy gets involved, it becomes a little bit more corny. You know, it's not Jason. I think they try to make it serious. You know,
some of those movies is just like so bad. Though.
Yeah.
How about you? What are you watching?
So, what is the name of that? What's the NBC? Why can't I think of the name of it? What's the NBC streaming service?
Peacock?
Peacock. There you go. They have a show called The Devil in Disguise, and it's about John Wayne Gacy.
Okay.
It's 8 episodes. We're like 5 in. Molly and I are watching it. It's done really well, but it's also, I wouldn't say it's not gory or anything, because they haven't shown really anything. It's just what they're telling about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But you find, I mean, the story of him is just crazy. Like the amount of bodies they find buried in under his house and stuff.
But I don't know if I could watch that.
It's there. Like I said, there's not really a lot, not any gore or anything. It's kind of just telling about what happened. And then it seems each episode kind of tells the, also in conjunction of telling this story of John Wayne Gacy getting arrested and his lawyer trying to, you know, plead insanity for him, mm-hmm. and you see all the courtroom and the cops finding all this stuff. While you're watching like the real time, you also see what happened back in like 76 or so it's earlier in time. You'll see like the kid, like this kid, this is how his life was, and then you never see him meet Gacy. You just kind of see where the kid disappeared, because every one of these kids just disappeared. They didn't know. No one knew what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I was talking to Molly about this. I'm like, You know, they actually did it. They can't... Only two people know what happened, right. You know, between the two.
Yeah.
They can't really tell that part of the story. They can only tell up to where the person went missing.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So it's really well done. It sounds weird to enjoy something that's so horrible.
Yeah.
But it is well done.
Sounds like something Lori would watch.
Yeah, Molly loves... It's funny how she loves watching the worst people, you know? Like, oh, there's this thing on, you know, the BTK yeah, killer. Did you watch that one on Netflix?
I did not. Lori did.
Yeah, that's... We watch that, too. That's her thing. She likes watching that. But I'm watching that, and I never really made it all the way through The Boys, the series on Amazon. I really like that show, and it's... That is really gory.
Yeah.
That is extremely gory and extremely filthy. Yeah, it's, you know, superheroes, bad superheroes, yeah. And it is strange how, you know, how they say life imitates art, that there's so much in this that you would think was a parody of things that are happening now. And these are from, I'm on this year or last year's season or whatever, but you know they had to have shot that before then, but it is crazy. You're like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what's happening now, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that myself.
It's, and some of it's kind of, it, like, I could see how it's not for everyone, but there's, I don't know, it's really out there, I'll just say that.
I've only watched the first episode. I've thought about getting back to it. I just never have.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. Not watching anything Halloween related right now. Good stuff.
I mean, we've put on the Nightmare Before Christmas. We've watched the Charlie Brown Christmas. I want to, for Halloween this year, I want to set up, we have a house that's completely empty. I want to set up I have one of those inflatable screens, and I'll put like Charlie Brown or Garfield or all the little Halloween shows. I want to put that up on that.
Oh, cool.
So,
yeah,
but that's cool. About it. That's about all I'm doing.
Yep. So hopefully we'll get together next week and be able to enjoy one last show before Halloween.
Yeah. I guess that's it for then today, huh?
I guess so.
Thanks for hanging out. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.